Looking forward to having Bradford and Jordan Burgess, former VCU standouts. Of course, Bradford Burgess jersey hanging from the rafters at Siegel Center. They're going to be in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk some basketball with them. Also about a camp that they're putting on that your child could be part of. They'll join us here in studio at 8 a.m. Wes McElroy, John Lazor joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates, the voice of the Hokies each and every Wednesday. Spring game coming up on Saturday. Before I get to that, you and I have done many shows, many topics before, and I know you've hosted this show many times. I think it'd be safe to say that the Aaron Hernandez story, the investigation, by the way, if you're just waking up this morning, Aaron Hernandez found dead in his prison cell, committed suicide, found this morning at 3 a.m., pronounced dead at 4:07. I was trying to find the label for this. Sad, tragic, fall from grace. Like, when you look back at how that whole story unfolded and who Aaron Hernandez was and what we found him out to be, how's it hit you, Lays?
Right now, just kind of with a numbness, to be honest with you, because all the things that you just said, sad, tragic, fall from grace, those were all the things that we felt back in 2012 when you started to get some of the details of this second life or the alternate life that he was living, because at that time we pretty much just knew him as a dynamic playmaker in the NFL. He was on people's fantasy football teams probably at that point. He was on mine. I remember, and then once we referred to the details of his life, and quite frankly, I've lost the details of which murder case we're talking about.
Yep.
Was it Odin Lloyd? Was it this double that he got acquitted of earlier this week? Was it the incident down in Florida? And I just basically wrote him off, and I hate to say it that way, but quite frankly, this doesn't come as a shock either.
No, it actually, it does. It's one of those things where you hear, it's sad, it's tragic. I feel horrible for his four-year-old daughter, but I mean, the guy that he turned out to be, the monster that he turned out to be, it's, I got to tell you, it's one of the more unique, eye-opening, eye-popping stories. It always kind of felt like it was something out of a book, out of a movie.
Yeah, it really did. And again, those were the emotions that were conjured a couple of years ago. And I think like the Patriots themselves, like the NFL themselves, have just tried to distance themselves from it. And that's kind of the way I get, you know, when I see those headlines pop up in my sports feed in the morning, it's like, all right, scroll past that. I know I have to look at it just to be knowledgeable about the situation. And then let's see who won on the baseball field or the football field last night.
Yep. Yeah. And on this morning where the Patriots are going, the team that tried to distance themselves from Aaron Hernandez going to the White House later today to meet with the president. And at an interesting time right now in the NFL where teams are trying to dissect and figure out what red flags to hold against draft picks and to not look at. John Lazor with us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. We'll transition over to football on the field where it is spring football. And in the spring football game coming up this Saturday, Lays, the guy, fill in the blank, the guy, the one guy you're most interested to see perform on Saturday is who?
Well, I don't think I can answer it in one guy. Like everybody else, it's the quarterbacks, and I want to see if they're going to be not necessarily live but close to live, where we're seeing that teeth of that Bud Foster defense get after him a little bit more than maybe they do in practice, and I want to see how they react, because I've seen good things from all three of the quarterbacks that I think are really a part of this quarterback competition. But I'd like to see it consistently, and I'd like to see when you're not just doing situational type drills or 7-on-7 and things like that. I want to see if they can sustain a drive, if they can handle, even though it'll be a blunted effect to the crowd at Lane Stadium and all of those things. So Josh Jackson, A.J. Bush, Hendon Hooker are on those lists. I will add a name, though, and I know you saw some of the media tweeting about it last night during our open practice or a portion of it, and that's Caleb Farley, because he, as we know, came in as an early enrollee, and for what we were told in the early portion of spring practice was primarily on the defensive side, and I can verify that that was the case, but I think due to some guys getting dinged up and maybe a lack of depth at the receiver position, we saw him move over to the offensive side for the better part of the last couple of practices, and he lit it up last night. I know it was just drills and practice, but he looked like the finest player, at least in those drills, on the field, so I'm interested to see, one, if he's going to play exclusively offense this spring or on Saturday, and two, if he can continue that level of play when it's live.
Because you and I have discussed this time and time before, depth at wide receiver, it's so impactful to Justin Fuente's offense, and right now they don't exactly have depth at wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have experience depth. You know, they have depth in terms of options and some of these young, intriguing players like Caleb Farley, Khalil Pimpleton, and although he won't be a wide receiver, Dalton Keene. So I'm interested to get a look at all of those guys. I mean, I've seen them in practice, and I'm fortunate to have the ability to see a little bit more behind closed doors. But at the same time, once you put them out there in the broad daylight, it'll be interesting to see who shines the brightest. And I'm certain that Brad Cornelison is eager to see that too.
Lays, it's so very easy to get into conversations about quarterbacks and wide receivers, especially in this offense and especially what the Hokies need. But how about running backs? With a new quarterback and really one established guy at the wideout position, I'm looking at running backs. What are you seeing when you look at the running back spot in the depth chart?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You kind of overlook that spot, and my eye always seems to wander to the passing drills that generally take place in the middle of the field while the running game's being worked on more in the ends of the field. And some of the familiar names are there. Trayvon McMillan, of course, I think is going to get the first crack at it, and I think this coaching staff recognizes that they had some options last year in terms of not necessarily using him as the feature back. I don't want to say they're backed into a corner in terms of having to use him more this year, but I think he will because I think he understands the system better and his responsibilities in it. Stephen Peoples is a guy that they've liked since the day they got here to Blacksburg, and he's definitely going to be involved. The guy that you forget about a lot is DeSean McLeese, and that's because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but we've seen flashes from him, and then Tarius Wheatley is certainly drawing some praise as well during these spring practices. And there's just a bunch of names like that that don't necessarily carry the recognition at the moment. DJ Reed will be in that mix, but to answer your question simply, that is another big question mark that this offense has going forward. I think we'd all love if Trayvon McMillan would realize the potential that we saw in him 2 years ago and become a more complete type player that's capable of fitting into somewhat of a different offensive system, and that means getting the blocking schemes down. That means being more of a threat in terms of receiving the football out of the backfield and maybe lining up in some different spots. And if he can do that, then he certainly has all the talent in the world to be able to be that versatile type back that you need in this set.
Okay, flip it over to defense. Give me a name or a couple names that are creating some buzz on the defensive side of the ball with Bud Foster.
Well, you look at the line right now, and it's just so hard to tell where you're at because you're basically missing the entire outside, the depth of defensive end. You've got three of your guys out from that spot. So I haven't really spent a whole lot of time breaking down what they're doing. I think the guys in the middle of that defense will be fine. But I'll tell you the guy that I think is going to be a monster this year, and that's Tremaine Edmonds. And I know that's easy to say because he had such a good year last year, but I think a lot of that was just on athleticism and the fact that he was able to get to spots quicker than most people. I think he's going to be an absolute beast this year in part of that linebacking core, and I think Andrew Motuopuaka is more than capable after leading this team in tackles last year to provide support to allow him to play more aggressively. So the Edmonds brothers, and you can tell that when you're talking about the defense, that's more solidified because you obviously have more starters back on that side of the ball, so the young guys haven't had as much opportunity to really stand up and be the surprise player of spring at this point.
Hokie spring football game this Saturday. Also a big weekend for John Lazor. We'll tell you about a special event he is part of this weekend in addition to the game Saturday. Also do a lightning round. John Lazor sticking around. Wes McElroy brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910.